We consider this morning Psalm 119, verses 99 and 100. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. It is not easy to read or to sing the 119th Psalm. Because when one reads and sings the 119th Psalm, we may not just have in mind that historically once there was a man who said these words, we must make them our words. The I, oh how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day, is me and is you. And so what makes it difficult to read and to sing the 119th Psalm is the recognition that in us is yet much indwelling sin, and yet, though there is this indwelling sin, this must be our resolve, this must be the confession of our heart. Indeed, the Holy Spirit does prepare and empower every one of His children to do this. But we recognize that it's sobering, and it requires reflection on our part before we sing and read. Am I going to say to God what is really true of my heart? Not only, though, does sin make it difficult to say and to sing the 119th Psalm, but standing in the way of our doing so genuinely from the heart is another matter. And that has to do with the scorn and the reproach of others. Go say this to your neighbor, to your co-worker, oh, how love I God's law. Live in such a way that they see you meet it. And while there will be some who appreciate that and see that you set an example for others to follow, there will be others who say, how silly you are. Such was the case with the psalmist. In the 119th Psalm, as he speaks repeatedly of his love for the law of God and his keeping of that law, he mentions that he bears the reproach of others for it. I'll not read all of the verses, but we read verse 95. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. We read the 110th verse. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. And although we didn't read the 136th verse, there he says, rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. And the wicked, are the wicked in Israel, in the sphere, in the area of the covenant, in the place where you would expect to find godly believers, there are some who do not keep the law and who reproach the psalmist for doing so. And so you and I also, not only recognizing the sinful nature of our own heart, but our own desire to be appreciated by others. Our own concern about what others think of us might not be quick to say, oh, how love I thy law. Therefore, let it become your daily prayer and mine for ourselves and for each other, that the grace of the Holy Spirit and the power of God would enable us to do this despite those obstacles. But in our text, and in the verse just preceding our text also, the psalmist gives the reason why, though he's opposed by those within Israel in the sphere of the covenant, he will still keep God's law. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, he says. I have more understanding than all my teachers, and I understand more than the ancients. And there's the key. Those who oppose you or me or anyone else for loving the law of God do not understand. Those who, by the grace of God, will persevere in obeying the law and loving that law, even though we are opposed for it, do understand. And that's going to be now the key concept of our text. And we're going to notice that the psalmist in this text expresses that he has more understanding than his teachers. That's the theme of the sermon. More understanding than my teachers. Notice first that this is a grievous realization on the part of the child of God. Second place, that the psalmist gives for it a striking reason. And yet in the third place, that he makes here, and we with him, a godly confession. I have more understanding than all my teachers. I understand more than the ancients. You might say the psalmist isn't grieved at all. You might say he's boasting. And there may be as a student in a classroom that will do the same thing. When he sees his teacher make a mistake in front of the class as he teaches a subject or she teaches a matter, there might be a student who laughs, sneers a little, and says, "Ha, the teacher got it wrong. I know more than my teacher." But that's not the approach of the psalmist. It's not a sneer. It's not a ridicule. It's not a boast. He is grieved. And as I've explained in the first place why he's grieved, let's see that he's not saying he has more knowledge than his teachers, but more understanding. And we need to see the difference between knowledge and understanding. There are, after all, students who have more knowledge than their teachers. Maybe that's not often true in the primary grades and even in some of the secondary grades. Generally, a teacher has more knowledge than a student, but it could even be true in those grades that in a particular subject or with regard to a particular event in history, a student has more knowledge. When now I teach adult and grown men, I'm not surprised when I find that some of them in one area or another have more knowledge than I, and no teacher ought to think that he knows more than his students. But knowledge isn't the issue here, it's understanding. And while understanding presupposes knowledge, it's more than knowledge. The understanding of which the psalmist speaks takes knowledge, tidbits of information, data bytes, and he assembles them together. He perceives the meaning of the whole, and he realizes how, with this knowledge, he can serve his God. That's the idea of understanding. One who understands, then, isn't just one who can take a test or a quiz or an examination and reproduce data and facts and get a good grade. But one who understands takes all of this data and says, "I see how it points me to the greatness and the glory of Jehovah God. I see how it says something even more about the glory of my Lord and Savior seated at the right hand of God and his control of all creation." Now you might say that's understanding as you come to the scriptures and as you seek to know the scriptures more and more. But what about science? What about science as it's taught in the schoolroom? Is not the student who understands the one who can say, "God formed the earth this way, and through a great flood of Noah's day, the earth in its present shape and form and composition was remade"? Isn't the student who understands history one who will not only say all sorts of facts about the Revolutionary Wars or the Wars of Britain, but also say, "And our Lord and Savior at the right hand of God governed all of this in his providence"? Is not the student who understands mathematics not just one who can do division in his head or multiplication in his head very quickly, but one who can say, "This speaks of an unchanging and yet infinite greatness of Jehovah God and of my Savior, Jesus Christ"? Understanding is taking data points of information and realizing what they say about the world around us, and especially about the God whom we serve, and about how we are to serve Him as our God and Savior. This is what the psalmist is speaking of, not merely knowledge, but understanding. That he's speaking of such is clear in a number of ways. It's clear, first of all, from the Hebrew words translated in the text, understand. There are two different words. In verse 99, I have more understanding. The psalmist uses a word that says, I can look at something, and then I don't just see its bare existence. I don't just describe its color and its shape and its texture, but I realize with insight more deeply what the thing is. And then in verse 100, I understand more than the ancients. He uses a different Hebrew word. That means that he's able to distinguish what's true from what's false. Let's take gold as an example. In the gold rush, a person might say, I'm rich, I have gold, and then come to find out his gold is fake gold. He wasn't able to understand, to discern the difference between genuine precious gold and fake worthless gold. The psalmist says, I can look at the law of God and I can discern what's true and what's not true. So that, first of all, the Hebrew words he uses. In the second place, that this is what the understanding is of which he speaks is clear from the reason he gives. How can he say he understands more than his teachers and more than his ancients? It's because his meditation is on the law and testimonies of God, and he keeps God's precepts. It's with the revelation of God in light of the whole of Scriptures that he can evaluate and therefore understand. And in the third place, although it was Solomon, whereas in the text, very likely not Solomon who wrote, we can look at Proverbs 1 verse 7 and 9 verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. All genuine understanding brings us back to God, and to God as he reveals himself in Jesus Christ. And therefore, there's a gospel already embodied in this concept, understanding. And the gospel is, first of all, that from the Word of God, but then also looking at the different disciplines, looking at creation and studying history, in light of the Word of God, the psalmist comes to know his Savior all the more. The Bible, after all, reveals God. Creation reveals God. But only that child of God who views God as he reveals himself in creation through the lens of Scripture can truly understand and will make a right confession about the God and the Jesus Christ whom creation reveals. And even when it comes more specifically to the law of God of which the psalmist is speaking, he beholds Christ in that law. Don't you? When you hear the law of God read, when you read it yourself, when you study it, when you conclude that you and I have fallen short of it and do not have the righteousness in of ourselves that God requires of us, do we not then say, but I know one who does? I know one who both has it within himself personally, and I know one who laid down his life on the cross to earn the same and bestow it on me. The law points us to Jesus Christ. Then we must add that this understanding is a gift from God in Jesus Christ. And that every child of God who's going to make the confession that the psalmist makes. I have more understanding than all my teachers is one who's going to say, I don't do that in and of myself. It's not because I have such a brilliant brain. It's not because I'm such an educated person. It's not because I have such inherent logic. It is because I, who by nature am dead in sin and trespasses, who could not understand nor comprehend the revelation of God, have been given new eyes to see, a new heart to understand, and new ears to hear. This is a gift of the grace of God and a fruit of regeneration. All of which, first of all, is meant to drive home the point that what the psalmist says in the text is for him a grievous realization. He doesn't necessarily know more facts, but he understands these facts better in relation to God and Christ and the service of the God of God and Christ than do his teachers. Who was a psalmist? We don't know exactly. We don't know his name. We don't exactly know the time in which he lived, although it would be at least as late as David, and very possibly later, even up possibly through the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. But what becomes clear, both from our text and from the rest of the psalm, is that he lived in a time in Israel when not all was well. If it was David, it was not the time of David when David had, as it were, ushered in a reform. It was probably not the time of King Josiah or Hezekiah who had ushered in reforms in Israel. It was a time when the teachers in Israel, the rabbis and the scribes and the others who are appointed to official positions in Israel, were not men who understood. They may be imparted facts, but they did not understand what the facts meant. And this might be a reason. I have to say might, because the psalmist doesn't say it explicitly. It may very well be a reason why he said in verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray. What would you expect if you are taught by men or women who don't understand? What would you expect? You and I too might go astray. Yet the psalmist is grieved. For at least three reasons he's grieved. In the first place, those who understand less than he are teachers. And teachers are called. It is part of their office and the calling God gives them to impart not merely facts, but understanding. Now, he's not speaking, and the application is not exclusively to a teacher in a school, but also to teachers in the church, to office bearers, and to teachers in the home, to parents, and to anyone in the sphere of the covenant who is in a position to impart not only knowledge, but also an understanding of the scriptures. It is a calling of a teacher not just to give data points and facts, but to show the child how they point to Christ. These teachers did not. The second place the psalmist is grieved because these teachers were the ancients, which is to say, they're older. They are those in the church who ought themselves, by virtue not only of their own upbringing and past education, but also their age and their advance in sanctification, they ought to have an understanding and be able to impart that understanding, but they do not. And in the third place, because these teachers of which he speaks were not Philistines, were not Egyptians, were not the ungodly, unbelieving college professor, perhaps, or university professor of our day, but we're in Israel, in the sphere of the covenant. Do you see why I say that this is a grievous realization to which the psalmist comes? I have more understanding than all my teachers. It meant that there was something wrong in Israel. It was a dark day. May it not be that today anyone can really say this with regard to your home life. May it not be that any of the children here can say this with regard to mother or father and what mother or father teach. May it be by the grace of God that we cannot say this with regard to the office bearers in the Church of Jesus Christ. But in one respect, we do live in such a day, and in another respect, we can expect to live even more in such a day. In one respect, we do live in such a day, for all around us, the world intends to teach. Whether it be that university professor who is an ungodly unbeliever, or whether it be one committed to the lie of evolution, or one who is himself unpersuaded that Jehovah is the only God and Jesus Christ the only Savior, every man intends to convince another that what's in his mind is something that governs you. Satan is behind that. We do live in such a day, therefore, in which we will find many who would teach us, but they will not teach us understanding. Let the youth of the congregation and the young adults bear that in mind. As the older we get, the more we are able to and open to receiving input and instruction from those who aren't our parents, and at some point we'll come across one who teaches us something directly contrary to what our parents taught. And then comes the question, young people, do you have understanding? Where we follow the fool who's trying to convince you that the Word of God is no longer true. And then in the church world around us, by and large, the same is true. Many teach, but do not have understanding. That must affect the way we read the world's books, the way we listen to the world's podcasts. There may be a place to do that. Of course there is. But always the calling comes to the one who reads and who hears, to the child of God. You, try the spirits. Put the matter that you hear and read to the test. Is it true? And if you're not able to do that, neither can you say you have understanding. And secondly, as I said, it will be much more the case, especially as the time of apostasy grows and the time leading up to Antichrist approaches. Many a person schooled by godly parents, teachers, and office bearers, and by the Holy Spirit's grace, having understanding, will be able to say, what that man is teaching me just isn't true. May God give us the understanding that enables us to be faithful to him in that day. The psalmist gives a striking reason for saying that he has more understanding than all his teachers. The reason is found in the last part of both of the verses of the text. For thy testimonies are my meditation, and because I keep thy precepts. What we need to do first in the second point is explain the words and be clear on what the psalmist means. And then secondly, we need to ask the question, but how does this serve as a reason for him to say that he has more understanding? When, therefore, the psalmist speaks of the testimonies and the precepts of Jehovah God, he's speaking of the revelation of God. It is true that he's speaking of that revelation from the viewpoint of the law. the commands and the prohibitions, the thou shalt and the thou shalt not. I do not mean only the Ten Commandments. Don't think of law that narrowly. For the Old Testament believer, the law was everything in Genesis through Deuteronomy. And especially it included not only the moral law, but included how to worship God, the ceremonial law, and included how to love my neighbor in my day-to-day life, the civil law. But as the psalmist speaks of God's testimonies and precepts and refers to his laws, he means more broadly to refer to the revelation of God. That revelation of God comes in the form of precepts, the second verse, verse 100 says. Precepts, and that word means more commands or directives or orderings. But even the law of God is a revelation about his existence and who and what kind of God he is. And that's what the psalmist means when he says, thy testimonies. For the law of God, ceremonial and civil and moral, bears testimony to the existence and the greatness and the glory of Jehovah God. That's why he uses that word, testimonies. In other words, the law of God is also his revelation to us. There's a question that arises in among theologians at different points, and it could arise here, and it's not one we must or may get caught up in. But I think it's worth raising the question a moment. And the question is the law, then, the testimonies and the precepts, something different from the gospel? If you understand law as including the precepts, the commands, but if you understand that law as involving then all of the revelation that God gave his people in the Old Testament, also in the ceremonial and the civil law, then you can't say that the law is something different from the gospel, but rather that the law makes known the gospel. And a person, a preacher now, could preach through Leviticus all of the ceremonial laws about feasts and fasts and sacrifices and show how they made known the gospel of Jesus Christ. In our text, from the viewpoint of our text, law or precept and gospel are not two different things. From the law, the psalmist understands the gospel of salvation for wretched sinners, deliverance from the bondage and the guilt of sin unto the freedom and the liberty and the righteousness of God in the Messiah who would come, that blessedness that you and I enjoy in Jesus Christ. On this law, on this revelation, on this gospel, he meditated. Thy testimonies are my meditation. He mused. He mulled them over in his mind. It brings a very simple question to mind. How much time have you had? And I ask myself the same in this past week to meditate on the Word of God. Because the psalmist is giving a reason. I'm not ready to say how it functions that way yet, but he's giving a reason for saying, I have more understanding. Have you listened to every blog of this man and read every podcast of that man, or read the blog and listened to the podcast? Have you read this book? Have you read that magazine? Have you caught up, been caught up in this or that subject and been so busy this week filling your head with information, but have not meditated on the testimonies of God? Then you and I will never be in a position to say, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Let it be a precious time in the day, your day and mine, when we say, now I'm going to go to the word that really matters. I'm going to hear from him whom to hear is to have life eternal. And I'm going to enjoy a bliss and a blessedness that comes only from God. I'm going to spend time meditating on his word. On that word he meditated and mused, and he kept God's precepts. To keep the law of God implies that there's a danger. The word keep suggests that, maybe not in the way we use it today and in what we think of it, but in its origins it does. There's a danger that Satan would draw us away from God and from his word and from his law. Why keep the law of God? Why keep the Ten Commandments when I can get immediate bodily, personal pleasures and results from disobedience? No, the psalmist said, I keep the law and precepts. I guard it in my heart. That means daily conversion. That means turning from sin to God every day. Now the question, why is this the reason for him to say that he has more understanding than his teachers? He does, you see, each of these last parts of the verse begin with for or because. And it is not doing justice to the reason to say that in this way he manifests his understanding. That's true. He shows he has understanding by keeping the law of God. But he's saying more than that. By turning to God's word for understanding. The psalmist shows that he has more understanding than his teachers, who apparently did not turn to that word for anything more than knowledge and data bytes of information. In a way, what the psalmist is saying shouldn't be hard for us to understand. The more you dwell with a loved one, and by dwell with, I mean have time together, but I also mean open up to the loved one and hear the loved one open up to you, the more you get to understand him or her. Be that a husband and wife within a marriage. Be that parents and children within a family. Or any other relationship. To live for 25 years or work alongside someone for 25 years whom we haven't talked to will lead us to have preconceived notions about the person, but not a true understanding of them. But when the psalmist meditates on God's testimonies and keeps God's precepts, he goes to God and has time with God, fellowship with God again and again. And therefore, there's a growth in understanding as one lives close to Jehovah. That's the point the psalmist is making. I want to illustrate the point with reference to two specific examples from the Ten Commandments. A person who despises authority, maybe already a child in the home who won't listen to mother or father, but then even more, a person who despises authority in the church and a person who despises authority also in the civil realm, and thinks, I don't need others telling me what to do. I can take care of myself. How does that person understand the sovereignty of God? Because the sovereignty of God and the ultimate authority of God overall is made known in the law of God in the fifth commandment, as he says, honor your father and your mother and respect your king, honor your king and your parliament, and bear witness, or rather, honor your church authorities. That's God. As we keep the fifth commandment, knowing our nature is not prone to, and there are times we don't want to, but consciously choosing to, we understand more the sovereignty of God and His authority. I'll make the same point with regard to the seventh commandment. How does a person, a young person perhaps, who says, my body is mine, I will do with my body what I want. God in the seventh commandment and elsewhere in scriptures has given me explicit commandment how to use my body in the service of Him and to the glory of His name. But I will use my body how I want. How does that person understand the faithfulness of God? Because you see, embedded in the seventh commandment is a doctrine about Jehovah and His abiding, ongoing faithfulness to us in Jesus Christ. I understand that and love it and rejoice in it when I say this testimony, this precept is given to me to keep, to guard. And what's my motivation for keeping and guarding when I won't get immediate physical pleasure? Here's the motivation. I will understand my God and my Savior more and live in fellowship with Him more deeply. This is what the psalmist is saying. This is why we are to beware of the world's quote-unquote wisdom, of the world's instruction. This is why we are to turn to the Word of God and strive for the wisdom that it alone can give. Wisdom is the principal thing, said Solomon. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. This too is why we pray now for mothers and fathers, for pastors, elders, and deacons, and even for the civil government, that God would use them for our growth in understanding, in sanctification, and in service to Him. I have more understanding than all my teachers. I understand more than the ancients. The psalmist who lived close to God and loved God's law can say this, and he makes now a godly confession. I began the sermon by saying it's not a boast. You know it's not a boast. Because if he were boasting, gloating about his superiority over anyone in authority over him, he would not be keeping God's precepts. But he is, and he does. He makes a confession. It is not wrong, beloved saints in Jesus Christ, to recognize where the world and others are misleading you. In fact, this is understanding. When the world misleads regarding abortion, when the world misleads regarding homosexuality, then the child of God is not wrong. Indeed, he demonstrates understanding to say, the world is wrong. The Word of God is right. And I, who by the grace of God recognize that I understand more than all my teachers and than the ancients. It's a godly confession, both in its expression, but also in its origin. You and I will never make this confession out of our own power and by our own nature. Dead, depraved, blind that we are, apart from the grace of God, we could only view what the world presents as the greatest wisdom and reject the law and precepts and testimonies of God as the greatest folly. But it is by virtue of the regenerating and enlightening renewing and sanctifying, irresistible grace of God in the hearts of those whom he's called, chosen to everlasting life, and for whom he prepares heaven, only by virtue of that power that we can say, I. And that too makes it a godly confession. Now may God give you and I grace to persevere in it, to grow in it, and then to say, as did the psalmist, I'll even stand before kings and not be ashamed if I have to tell the very king he's wrong. But I stand on the basis of the word of God. I will do it and know that God will uphold me and God will bear witness and testify of me that I have more understanding than all my teachers. For thy testimonies are my meditation. Amen. Father, which art in heaven, drive home this word, and may it be an encouragement to us, an evil day present, and an even more evil day future, to live according to thy word, and to love thee in all things. This we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.